who also has a conscience about the problems of people is not unusual. I would not suggest that that was not the case with Maurice Stans when he was budget director.
But it is tremendously important in this time.
And so we reach the conclusion, as far as the introduction of the members of the cabinet are concerned, except for my colleague, Spiro Agnew. He will be a member of this cabinet, as I was, and as my predecessors, and particularly my successors, I should say, have been, as a result of President Eisenhower's giving me that responsibility. He will preside over the cabinet in my absence. He also will sit at that National Security Council table. And he also adds that extra dimension of coolness under fire and pressure. Just some general comments that I think will be of interest to those of you who are listening. Comments that I can make now and that you can judge me on later. Every one of these men that I have introduced to you is an independent thinker, I can assure you. I haven't found any one of them who agrees with me completely on everything that I believe about what ought to be done in this country. But that's all to the good. I don't want a cabinet of yes men, and I don't think you want a cabinet of yes men. Every man in this cabinet will be urged to speak out in the cabinet and within the administration on all the great issues so that the decisions we make will be the best decisions we could possibly reach. It is also a rather remarkable cabinet, and of course I proudly say that, remarkable because of the fact that it is a cabinet not just of specialists but of generalists. Go down the row with me for a moment and let me explain it. The Secretary of State could be the Attorney General. The Secretary of the Treasury has broad international experience. He could be Secretary of State. The Secretary of Defense could be the Secretary of HEW. He's an expert in that field. The Attorney General is a man who has great experience in the field of municipal and state finance. As a matter of fact, I'm reminded of a rather humorous incident that occurred immediately after the election when I met for the first time with Governor Rockefeller at that time, or I met after the nomination. And when we were meeting in my apartment, the next Attorney General of the United States was there with me, and I was started to introduce him to Governor Rockefeller, and Governor Rockefeller said, "Well, you don't have to introduce John Mitchell to me. He's my lawyer," or he was my lawyer. I don't think he knew how prophetic he was, incidentally, because it's... But here is a man who can bring that extra dimension insofar as financial affairs are concerned. And then as we go all around the table, the businessmen with business background in this cabinet, Red Blunt, Wally Hickel, the governors, all of these men could serve as budget directors or even in the post of Secretary of Treasury. We have two great educators, Chancellor of the University of Nebraska, Dean of the School of Business of Chicago University. They will bring an extra dimension to the solution of our problems in the field of health and education and welfare. This, I think, is something else to recommend the cabinet. But above all, this consideration should be mentioned. This group of men, while it has had experience in government, most of them, for the past 8 years, not one of them has been in Washington, D.C., on a permanent basis. Consequently, they will come to Washington with new men, with new ideas. They are as convinced as I am that great as our problems are in America and the world, they can and must be solved. That we can bring peace and keep the peace in these next 4 years. That we can bring our people together at home and bring law and order with justice, something every American wants, and that we can have a new era of progress, progress without inflation. All of these are difficult objectives to achieve. But new men coming into the government, I can assure you, will do everything that they can to achieve them. As you can gather from this presentation, I'm quite proud, very proud, of the men who have agreed to serve with me in this cabinet. And I only hope that at the conclusion of our 4 years, that you will be as proud of them as I am. And now, if I could conclude with just two personal notes, I hope, and I do not control these cameras, but I hope that as they pan the members of the cabinet, they also showed their wives. And I think you would be interested to know, all the women who are listening to this program, that tomorrow we're going to have another historic first. We're having 8 hours of briefing on international and national affairs that all the members of the cabinet will be attending. And I have asked that all the wives attend, too. I want them to be there on the takeoffs. That may avoid a crash landing a little later. And I know, too, that the wives are giving up a great deal, many of them, to come to Washington. I know, too, they're going to have some difficult times. I speak from some experience. Wake up in the morning, critical editorial, or a Herb Block cartoon. But I can assure you, these are strong men. They are compassionate men. They are good men. And now a personal note, in the best spirit, I trust, of bipartisanship. Tomorrow, I shall call upon the President, Mrs. Johnson, along with Mrs. Nixon and my daughter, Patricia, and the members of the cabinet, of the new cabinet, will be received by Secretary Rusk and the members of the old cabinet in a reception at the State Department. Now, during the campaign, I'm sure all of you will remember that I had some rather harsh things to say about the policies of some of the members of the old cabinet. But I have respect for each one of them. And I think that respect can best be indicated by an evaluation of the host tomorrow, Secretary Rusk. I told Mr. Rogers, when I urged him to take this post, that no one could be a popular Secretary of State in America. And Mr. Rusk, in the past 8 years, has had a terribly difficult problem. And the way that, with quiet dignity, with confidence, that he has handled that problem, I think, is something that we all respect, whether we agree with those decisions or whether we do not agree. And through the medium of this broadcast, I wish all of the old cabinet well as they leave Washington. And I know that all of you will wish the members of the new cabinet well as we come to Washington. We need your good wishes. We need your advice. We need your criticism. We need your prayers in these difficult days ahead. And so with that, ladies and gentlemen, I thank you for allowing us to participate in this historic occasion. And if the members of the new cabinet and their wives will now follow me to the next room, we will have some photographs taken, because some of you may not have seen them as the cameras went around the room. Thank you.
You are listening to the Nixon Cabinet, a CBS News special report.
This is Dennis Bracken at KNX News Central. KNX Los Angeles, 1070, where morning, noon, and nights you get it first and you get it right. And live and complete by a direct broadcast line to Washington, D.C., the first personal insight into the new administration, President-elect Nixon, as he introduced the members of his new cabinet. From now until the 8 o'clock hour, complete and continuous coverage of all the news this day and this evening of our world and of our West. On the hour at 8 o'clock, we'll take you to the Fabulous Forum. There's live-action hockey scheduled on KNX tonight, as the Kings take on Gordie Howe and Company from Detroit.